In the NIV, it says, shake off your dust, rise up, and sit enthroned. That's awesome. Because you're sitting in the right hand of God. So you have to wake. You have to rise up. Loose the bands from your necks. Put on beautiful garments. See, it's the whole process is right there in those two scriptures. The big key is to wake up and arise. Because if you have the slumber on you, generally you're asleep. If you haven't been close to the Lord, you're asleep. You just don't know it. That's just the way it is. And so you have to put on the beautiful garments of the Lord. We arise, we wake up. Now going towards Him, when we have that slumber on us, that right there is a very hard thing to take off if you haven't been close to Him. And what will happen is you'll try to go through that door with that slumber on you. And it's very hard to get through that door. So if you've decided that it's time to arise and wake up and you charge into that door and you don't get through, don't give up. You just got to keep going, keep going, keep going. And eventually you'll go on through and that'll fall off of you. Amen. If you keep doing it and stay fit and stay in it daily, you'll move through rather quickly. If you don't, that door will get covered up again. And the enemy constantly wants to put us asleep. We're just walking asleep. And he wants to put that veil over us where we lose that intensity and that fire. If you want to keep the intensity and the fire, you got to stay next to the Lord. Amen. And that's what we're doing here, is moving into these gates to be clothed upon. There's a lot of things in the right hand of God. Right now, we're in the process of what's behind the door. That's what we're focusing on now. We've been focused a lot on how to get through the door. And everyone's at a place, but you must learn to move into the kingdom of God. It's an absolute necessity. Everything is brought to light. This is a major key. Listen to me on this. Everything is brought to light by the revelation of the word and your faith activating and operating in cohesion with that word. Now, what I'm saying is the right hand of God, you can be taught it year after year after year, but it'll never be relevant until you actually engage it. It's just words. Amen. What's inside the right hand of God? The inheritance of the saints in the light. He says we are partakers of the heavenly calling, partakers of the divine nature, the throne of grace. All that is in what we call the position of the right hand of God. That's where Christ administrates the entire kingdom of God. That's where his throne is. It's also called Zion. Out of Zion, the perfection of beauty shineth. We know that because he sets his king upon the holy hill of Zion. I will declare the decree, thou art my son. This day I've begotten thee. Paul specifically in Acts 13 refers back to that chapter, Psalms 2, and says that speaking of the right hand of God and his resurrection. So we know Zion is part of the right hand of God. It's spiritual Zion. We know the throne of grace. All that's there. Amen. Now, what we're focusing in on, what I just said a moment ago, is we're focusing on the throne of grace, and particularly what I call the mirror. So go to 2 Corinthians chapter 3. I've run straight into something that just want to prepare you for this, but it's a necessity we go through this process. This mirror that I'm about to talk to you about is unlike anything, any other mirror you'll go in front of. It's part of the operation of the throne of grace, where he exchanges your identity for his. He exchanges your image for his. He exchanges your weaknesses for his strength. Now, your spirit's been made in the image of God. It grows up into that image, but it's made in that image. Your soul has to undergo transformation. There's confirmation, conforming to his will, transformation, and transfiguration. Amen. But right here in 2 Corinthians 3:18, this is must be a very familiar verse, because this is what we're honing in on right now. We're honing in on the place of transformation, because until the bride is adequately adorned in the image of Christ and the likeness of Christ being transformed, we're not going to really walk in full dominion, because he said, let us make man in our image, then let him have dominion. Without image, you can't have dominion. Now, a lot of times we think we're ready. How many have ever gotten there and said, Lord, I'm ready. Let's go. Come on. It's kind of like in the past, I said, Lord, you know I can give. I've showed you I can give. Just hand over the money and let's go. But there's a lot of other stuff you don't know until you go. But we all, with open face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image that you behold. which is the glory. Now, this verse is directly correlated to John chapter 17 when he says, Father, I will that they be with me. The final prayer of the Lord, Father, I will they be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory that you've given me. That's not a future state, although you will. That's for now. He's been set in the right hand of God, and he's inviting us to come to behold his glory. That glory is the original image given to man, because he said, let us make man in our image. If you look at John 17:5, give you an excellent scripture here. Go look at John 17 real quick. Well, I need to share this operation with you, because if you'll press into this, there's some marvelous things are going to happen, but there's also going to be an unveiling of the old. Look at this. John 17:5 says, and now, Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. Is that powerful? You know what he's praying there? He's about to ascend back into the glory of the Father. He's about to go to the cross. The Father's going to raise him up. And he's saying, now, Father, glorify me again. Let me receive the glory that I had with you since the beginning. He says, when they were sitting together, let us make man in our image. That was what they were in. See, in Christ, he left that estate to take our sin, to take our image and bury it into the grave, to be resurrected and to receive the image back. Say, re-glorified. He's been glorified. Now he has the image, and he is our image that we're conformed to. That's the mirror you go, because he sits in the right hand of God. All this is part of the throne of grace. When you go in front of him, this is what he's going to release upon you. Now, it's not always going to be glory, light, and heavenly encounter. Because what's going to happen when you get in front of this, there's going to also be a revealing of your image. Now, we can't always see our image, but in that light, it's almost like he also executes the judgment seat of Christ there, but not in a bad way. It's a judgment of love, but he can show you. I'm just trying to prepare you. You really start pressing into this mirror and say, God, I want to take off my image and I want to put on the image of Christ. To take off your image, part of that process is he's going to show the depths of that fallen image. It's not so you can dwell on it, but there is a repentance like no other. It's a light and a cutting like no other. I've just been through a couple of sessions and I'm frankly worn out. It takes everything in you to look at something like this. I'm just saying, if you want to take upon his image, it's not just taking his image. He has to take yours off. And part of the way he takes yours off is he shows you your image. He shows the fallen image, the what you carry in the soul, what you carry in the flesh, what you carry as a capacity. And you got to know this. If you get involved in this and you're looking for glory and all of a sudden all this stuff comes up out, you got to know. This is part of the process. Don't run from it, because you're going to want to run. Nobody wants to look at that. I don't want to look at it. Looks like Paul said, look, it's a light thing that you judge me, because I've been judged of the Lord. Anybody ever been judged of the Lord, it's a very light thing to be judged by man, because nobody can judge the way he does. He doesn't do it out of a rod of condemnation. He has his love there, but that light is so fierce. It's part of the sword of the Lord. It's so fierce. It will cut. Speaking of the throne of grace in Hebrews, says it cuts asunder spirit, dividing asunder of spirit, soul, joints, and marrow. That's the three parts of you. The spirit, the soul, joints, and marrow is your body. He can carve out things out of your soul. He can carve out things out of your body. He can carve out fallen image and construct his. Some images can't be dealt with any other way but that brilliance of that kind of light. Don't expect to go in there and just see this light like this. It's more of a sword that it exposes. Anybody ever been at that? Know what I'm talking about? The intensity of that? Now, if you want God, I'm telling you right now, you're intercessor, I'm talking to you today. If you want God with all your heart, you've got to go in front of the mirror. because you really want his image. You want his glory. If you want to wear glory, you have to take off your image. And that light is plenty and powerful enough. If you'll stay there and not run from it, and your tendency is to run, because it'll show you things about yourself that are devastating. I'm telling you, devastating. You can't even look at yourself in that light. There's no possible way you could see yourself in that light until he brings you into that. And he doesn't do it to condemn you. He does it to take it out of you, to purge you. It's part of the judgment seat of Christ, but he always replaces it with his image. But it's intense. I'm saying, if you go through something this, you start feeling shaken, don't run. Let him have his way. Amen? Because his purpose is to clothe you in his image. Amen? Now, we are directly going in front of that mirror on purpose. Sometimes you stumble in front of it. Sometimes you can fast your way. If you've ever gone through a long season of fasting, fasting has a tendency to pull up the infirmity. Ever seen gold refined? What's the first thing when gold's refined? All the dross comes to the top. You ever seen the black stuff? All that's the dross. When you're refining gold to its most refined state, it actually becomes transparent. That's why the streets of gold are transparent in heaven, but the black dross comes out. Same thing with silver. When God's refining you, there's a process. He'll draw up the fallen image. These images, believe it or not, are stopping your future. They are a product of your belief system. They're strongholds, because it's casting down imaginations, the fallen image, systems of thoughts, powered by emotions, creating actions, reactions, and behavior patterns that are contrary to the mind and nature of Christ. That's why it said exalting itself against the image of Christ. See, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down the imaginations. They're a part of your lens system, the way you deal and view with humanity and relationships, the way you handle life, the way you handle circumstances is all part of that, and it's all tied together. And when he tears it down, you see it. You see your capacity like no other way. You'll see things you don't even think you're capable of. I'm just telling you straight up. How do I know? I'm in it right now. These images have to be torn down. You just don't know they're there because we live with this. But more importantly, he sees in the heart. Because all the stuff dwells in the heart. God sees all the way past us. He sees what's there. It's amazing how much he loves us to see the way he sees. Because I'm telling you, if you press into this mirror, I'm telling you straight up, I don't know if I want this. Trust me, you can't go the next level without some type of transformation going on. If you want to go quickly, the mirror is my opinion of 25 years of seeking God. And all the revelation knowledge I have, my opinion, the mirror is the highest level of transformation there is. It's higher than fasting. But you got to get in front of it, and it's in the right hand of God. You got to get through that door, and you got to make a demand upon the mirror. It's all by faith. You go to the throne of grace. That's what we're learning to do. Go to get in front of his light. When you get in front of his light, it's going to open you up. He is a surgeon like no other surgeon. But when he shows this to you, and he's going to, if you get in front of him, it's important not to receive the condemnation. You're going to receive a level of repentance that's unlike anything else you've seen, because you're going to see things in a light that you can't see here. It's just no possible way. Now, everyone's going to appear before this process in heaven. Everybody's going to go through the judgment seat of Christ. You're going to give an account of everything. And if you go through it now, let him judge you now, be conformed to his image now. What happens, it will increase your fruit manifold in this life, because it'll prepare you to bear much fruit, to take on his image. I want to wear his glory, but I know I got to go through that process. But remember, stay in there, because he's coming with his love. He's coming with his image. He's going to take that fallen out. And in his process of pulling it out, you're going to look at it. You're going to look at it, and it's going to be excruciating painful to do so. I'm telling you right now it is. These are very high levels of operation of God that a lot of people don't understand. If you want it, if you want to be conformed to his image and you're tired of going around the same mountain, go in front of this. When he does this, he's going to replace it with him. And when he does, it's going to start bringing you up. It's going to put your name in front of him for promotion. It's just the way it is. And it's also going to release dominion. Amen. So what we do here is not just entering in. We are entering in for a reason. There's a lot of things that go on in the right hand of God, okay? There's inheritance there. There's dominion there. Your calling is there because he received it for you. Who you're called to be and what you're called to be, he ascended on high and received gifts for men. First apostle, see the whole government, he received that government when he ascended on high. He has your calling. He has your office. He has it. It's with him. He'll administrate that to you. So a lot of things that go on there, apostolic, king, priest, government, you name it, it's there. And I've focused all upon the dominion part of it because that's what I want. That's what we all want. Amen. But now we're in the image part. And this is what we need. And we need his image. We need his likeness. We want to bear his glory. But he's got to take off the old. Amen. That's why he says, put off the old man. That's just something you wake up and say, okay, I'm going to put off the old man, put on the new. You do that in his presence. You do that at the throne of grace. You exchange your weakness for his strength. I'm telling you what, you can be a champion in God with this kind of knowledge because it doesn't matter what kind of weakness or what you've been dealing with. It matters not because it doesn't matter who we are. It matters who he is in the exchange of our fallen image for his greatness. That's the glory of it. You're going to get his image.
It's from the Laodicean church, which is the age that we're in. And so he's giving a word that is prophetically, it's right on for the hour. And it says, I advise you to buy from me gold refined in fire, gold being glory. We need the refining and the fire so that you may be rich, and white clothes so that you may be dressed, and your shameful nakedness not be exposed. And then ointment. Out of that, you'll get ointment on your eyes so that you can see. For as many as I love, I rebuke and discipline. So be committed and repent. And then listen, I stand at the door of your heart of heaven and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens up the door, comes up to the right hand of God, I will come in to that secret place in you and have dinner, have communion with you and you with me. And listen to this, the victor, I will give him the right to sit with me on my throne, just as also I won the victory and sat down with my Father on his throne.
Isn't that good? To him that overcometh, to him that overcometh. Yeah, shake off the dust, amen. All this takes place. It doesn't take place here. It takes place there. Thus is why we are priests. Say, I am a priest of the right hand of God. Paul's saying, let's leave the elementary foundations. He goes, I know you all this. I know that you've been born again, but let's go on into perfection. He's not saying take that out of your foundation. Let's go on and grow up into perfection. He's talking about come become the priest of the heavenly tabernacle. He talked about the priest of Moses. And he goes, but we're called after the order of Melchizedek. Christ was called after the order of Melchizedek. And he goes, it's a heavenly tabernacle that we're called. And they that even served the earthly tabernacle had no right to eat. He goes, come and be participants, partakers of the heavenly tabernacle. That's our calling. And we learn to do this and we stay focused and we move into these areas. We're going to see the level of transformation everyone's looking for. And more importantly, we're going to carry his glory. Everybody's wanting God to just come and put his glory on them. It can't just come and put his glory without the exchanging of our image. We have to take ours off. Now, there are certain anointings God will put on the body of Christ to help people take that stuff off. That's what we do with Sozo. We want more and more and more power in that area. I believe the more glory we give, the more power we're going to be able to take things off of people here. But you as intercessors, we are called, this whole church is called to live in the right hand of God. This is our life and breath. We're called to live there, transform there, administrate there, and release back to here. And we're learning. We're all learning. We're still learning. But I'm telling you, the mirror transformation is one of the greatest things that we can come into before dominion. And it's a most necessary thing. We must have this level of transformation, and we must encounter his glory and his light at this level. And you got to press to it, and you got to open it up by faith, by the word of the living God. See it as the throne of grace. You're coming to the throne of grace for one reason. I want to exchange my image for yours. I'm going to be clothed in your, I want to be with you where you are to behold your glory. Now stop going in there trying to look at something like a brilliant in your head, some brilliant light, and I'm there in front of him. That's not how this works. It's an awareness you're in front of him, but there is going to be an operation that will open you up. You'll cancel yourself out if you're trying to look for things in image form, like in your mind at all. It's a spiritual thing. So we practice entrance here. We practice surrender. You'll hear me. These are just prototypes of the way to do this. I always start with a surrender. I'm laying down. I'm taking off as much as I can take off to get through that door. And then we approach that door. When you hear me, listen, when you hear me say, I'm aware that I'm dwelling, that is the way you see in the kingdom. Now, the way the kingdom works is not close your eyes and just go imagine a kingdom there. The word of God creates the imagery that creates the awareness. For instance, he hides me in the rock. See, he says, you want to see my glory, I got to hide you in the rock. The rock is Christ. So I'm aware that I'm hidden in the rock. I'm aware that I'm in the tabernacle of God. I'm aware that a tent's around me. Why am I aware? I want to always be aware I'm in, not out. You see that? I'm aware there's a tower around me. So when I'm going in, I'm always practicing awareness. Focus here in your awareness because you're acknowledging every good thing that's in you in Christ. I'm acknowledging here. I'm always trying to move here. Here, you're too much involved in the natural mind. I want your awareness to be here. Just close your eyes and be aware of things from the inner man. You see the awareness? Aware that there's a tower around you. Be aware there's a tent surrounding you. Be aware that you're hidden in a rock. Be aware that he hides you in a pavilion from the strife of tongues. He hides you in a secret place. He goes, he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow. I'm aware that he stretches forth his wings over me. You see the wing over you? You're aware? Now, listen to this. When you close your eyes and you saw that wing over you, you didn't see a wing with your natural eye, but you could be aware. See, now what I do is everything I'm doing, is all constructed by the imagery of his word. Okay. It's constructed by the imagery of his word. What prophets do, I don't know if you run around with a lot of prophets, but a lot of times prophets don't have a lot of doctrine. They just have a tremendous amount of encounter. Not all of them, but a lot of them. They have encounters like crazy, but they don't have a lot of doctrine. And you can get moving in all kinds of dimensions like that. I only move by the image of his word. I don't move anywhere else unless the imagery of the word. And so when I'm aware that I'm in a pavilion, because the word said I'm in a pavilion, it says you're dead with Christ, but your life is hidden away in Christ, in the Father. Here's another one. Paul said, I want to be found in him. I'm always seeing myself inside, not outside. Now, only thing I do when I approach the door, first of all, when I surrender, I'm aware there's a cross there, and I am surrendering at the foot of that cross. Why? Because the Bible says you're buried with him in baptism. So the old man's been buried, even though you might be wearing him in positionally, he's been buried. Okay? Your old image has been buried. So if I'm dealing with something, I lay that image at his feet. As much as I can surrender, I'm laying it down, casting my care, casting my burden, laying down my heaviness, laying down the image that I'm dealing with. All right? Then when I approach him, it's like I say, I'm aware that you're the living doorway. I'm aware, and we know this, if you'll read Exodus 33 and 34 and meditate heavily, Moses came out of the congregation, right? He separated himself out of the congregation, and then he went into the tabernacle of God. It was without the camp. God pitched the tabernacle. What that was signifying is you got to come out of where you are into where he is. Even though he's inside you, you got to come out from where you are. It's a jurisdiction that's outside of you, but it's in you. So when I see, I got to come out and separate myself. My separation is I'm laying down myself. I'm taking up my cross because I want to follow him into glory. So I'm taking up my cross and I'm going to follow him. I'm going to deny self its rights to do what it wants to do. I'm going to deny my body its right to do what it wants to do. I'm going to deny my mind its right to do what it wants to do. And I'm going to put it all at the cross. I'm going to humble myself under his mighty right hand because I'm coming in. Now, when I'm through surrendering, I didn't look at him as the doorway, because when Moses came out of the camp, he walked in the tabernacle and a cloudy pillar of glory stood at the tabernacle door. That was Christ. He was the door. He was signifying, I am the door. And says the cloud spoke with him. You see, that cloud was Christ that stood at the doorway saying, I am the living doorway. See, that's it. The tabernacle is where the tent of meeting is. That's Christ in you. The tabernacle of Christ is where you meet with God. And it is a jurisdiction outside of the one you live in. It's just in you. No, it is a secret place. It's all the same. It's just different names. All this different imagery. Old Testament imagery, New Testament imagery. It's all the same. In fact, I always use a lot of the Old Testament imagery of the tabernacle or the tower, or he hides me, or he's a shield, exceeding great shield around about me. See, I see myself always inside of what he's doing. I'm inside his glory. I'm inside the vortex of God. I'm inside the swirling fire of God. I always want to be inside, not outside. Amen. I want to come out. Now, once I surrender, I acknowledge him as the doorway. I see him as the living pillar of glory standing at the tabernacle door. I see it there. And from that point, I acknowledge him. You are the living doorway. By you I enter in. Through you I enter in. I honor you as the door. By the new and the living way, consecrated by the veil of my flesh, I draw near. Now, I only stay there for a very brief moment. Even though I may not feel like it, even though I don't sense it, I immediately from that point move into an interior place. From that point in, I move into awareness that I'm in the tabernacle. I'm under the shadow of his wings. I'm under his pavilion. I'm within the tower or the bulwark of God or the fortress of God. I'm hidden away in Christ. I'm abiding in him. I'm dwelling in him. I'm found in him. It's all in at that point. Why? Because I got to get where I'm already seated, because the Bible says you were raised together and made to sit together. You're already positionally there. I'm dragging everything in there. All right? Now, when I'm there, I may not feel like I'm there. My mind might be trying to drag me into today's cares or drag me into yesterday's stuff, or I might be carrying something from some relationship or something that's going on with the church or something that's going on in my life, and it's just packed in on me, and I'm trying to stay in this place while everything's trying to pull me out. Even though I might not be actually in the Spirit yet, I'm positioning myself there. This is huge. This will get you in. You gotta watch. You may not be in, but you're positioning yourself in. And every thief that's standing at that door is stretching on you and pulling on you and trying to get you back out here so they can manage you. And you'll feel it. Sometimes you'll feel slumbered. And sometimes I gotta stand up, shake it off, and go right back in there. Now what I'm doing, this is major key. Listen to me. The key is the enemy. He's going to try to pull on you and distract you, try to get you up or move you back out. This is where you got to train yourself to focus. That's why I said, acknowledge every good thing that's in you in Christ. I have to pull myself back in, and I got to see myself back in to that tabernacle. No, I'm aware that I'm dwelling in the tabernacle of God. His glory is around me, and I'm constantly trying to be there until I get there. Eventually, if you'll stay there and don't let yourself pull out, all that will come on in. When it does, it'll break. That atmosphere trying to fight you, those thieves, they'll break. They'll break right off of you. When they break off of you, you're in. You're in the Spirit. You're in the glorious liberty of the children of God. You're in the place where he dwelleth. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. We all with open face. Now you're in the kingdom, or you're in the place of Christ in you. He says, in me there's peace. In the world there's tribulation. But you're not of the world. You're in me. You see? So you practice that. So if you're in that warfare, just keep yourself centered. And the way I do it is I don't sit there. I never stop speaking at this point. Never. If you stop speaking, you'll just drift off. They'll grab you. Thieves will grab you. You'll lay down just in the rest of God. You know, you just lay down there. Hallelujah. You got to keep speaking into that veil. That's why I keep the imagery going. I keep myself in there. I keep moving it in there until everything breaks and I get beyond the door. When I get into the door, those thieves don't come through that door. They have no access to that. You'll know because the pressure will break. You'll know because the atmosphere will shift immediately. You'll know it's all of a sudden all this warfare, and then all of a sudden peace that passeth all understanding. Or all this stuff's pulling on you, and this nothing's pulling on you. You know what it's like to be in the spirit and nothing pulls on you. You're just there. Now you're in. You made it through the door. Practice that. Understand that process. And you'll be miles and miles and miles ahead of people that walk with God for 50 years. Because you can have the knowledge of God for 50 years and never know how to go through that door. Then you can start exploring what's in the room or what's in the throne, what's in the right hand of God, because your inheritance is there. How do you know that? He blesses me what? With all spiritual blessings. Where? In the heavenly places. Keep from the enemy. Why? Because the devil stole the inheritance from the first Adam. And that's how he got his authority to have dominion here in the earth. He took it. All right. So what did God do? The last Adam says, all right, I'll give it all back. That's why when he ascended on high, the Father appointed him heir of all things. Heir of what? All that God reassigned everything to him. Wealth, power, dominion, all of it. And he set him in the right hand of God, and he set the inheritance in the right hand of God and says, yep, I'll set it up here far above the principalities and the powers of this age. They have no access to it. But then he gave you as sons and daughters access to go up. That's why you have to operate in the heavenly priesthood. If you don't know how to operate, you can't get the inheritance. That's what we're looking. We want to get the inheritance down, but we need his image. And his image is there. His likeness is there. His mirror is there. The throne of grace is there. There's so much there. I'm like, God, what are we doing? Those thieves know it. That's why they stand at the door every morning. They know what's there. They'd much rather you stay on this side of that doorway the rest of your Christianity than get in there and be clothed from on high. But I'm telling you, I can see it in my heart. We are going to walk out of this place. Not just me, all of us. We're going to walk out clothed in his glory. We are going to be so changed in his image. He is going to put the living glory on us, the same kind of glory that was with man in the beginning. What Christ received, the transfiguration, what Moses had upon his face. All says all creation's groaning right now to be covered again, to be clothed in a heavenly tabernacle. You're groaning and you don't know it. You're groaning for a body to be restored to you, a heavenly body, one with his earth suits going to now. We're none of us going to get that to the sound of the trump. But we can have his glory now. And temporary measures, we can carry it. We're going to come out of that place clothed in glory, and it's going to be the catalyst which dominion will be executed in the earth. And whithersoever that glory upon you goes, there will be dominion, destroying all the works of the devil, because Christ is now clothed on the exterior of your life. Now you're being clothed in an image that's far beyond anything we could ever produce. Atmospheric glory, and he's going to execute dominion off that atmospheric glory. And there's a difference between that and someone standing up in the gift realm and operating in a gift. That realm comes out of the right hand of God. That's what we want. That's what we're after. This is what all our seeking and searching has been about. I want you to practice this and understand you're fighting for far more than just your day being made better. Getting through that door is a part of your heavenly priesthood, where he's going to clothe you in the priestly garments. When those priests came out, even the Levites, they come out with the jewels. And to God, you knew they were separated unto God by what they wore. The jewels and everything made of purples and blues and gold was the royalty of God and the glory of God. All of their vestures was signifying that I am going to clothe my future priesthood in the true glory of God. And when we walk out, they're going to know you're a priest by what you're wearing in the spirit. They're going to know you're an apostle by what you're wearing. They're going to know you're a prophet by what you're wearing. They're going to know because you wear glory. It's not of this world, hallelujah. And to wear that glory, we must exchange our image for his. And that's why we got to get through that door. We got to get before the throne of grace daily, and we got to exchange. Let's give him glory, hallelujah. Father, today, we all just come up right now. We just corporately just come up through that door. Lord, we just come through that door to consecrate our life before you. To consecrate our life, to say, change my image, Lord. To lay our image down, we want your image. We want to behold your glory. We want to behold it. We want to be clothed in it. We don't want the false. We don't want anything that draws attention to man. We don't want the counterfeits. We want the true. We want what is pure from heaven. We want them to see you, Lord, upon us. Let your glory wrap around us right now. Just clothe us. Been teaching us, Holy Spirit. Clothe us today in his likeness. Clothe us today in his glory. Clothe us today in the beauty out of Zion. Out of your right hand, the perfection of beauty will shine upon us. Make us beautiful, Lord. Make us beautiful, Lord. Make us beautiful in thy sight. Make us beautiful. Clothe us. Lord, make me beautiful. Catch me up. Make me beautiful, Lord. Make me beautiful. Clothe me in your beauty, Lord. The heavenly garments, the heavenly glory, the heavenly honor, the heavenly image. We shall bear the image. As we have borne the image of the earthly, Father, I thank you now we will bear the image of the heavenly. As we have borne the image of Adam, we will bear now the image of Christ. We will bear your image, Lord, the beauty of Zion, the perfection of beauty, shining upon us, filling us, clothing us, lifting our sorrow, lifting the heaviness, lifting the old. We put off the old man. We put off the old man. We put on Christ. Be clothed in light. We put on your light. We put on glory. We are partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. In light. In love and beauty, we put on the heavenly tabernacle. Clothe us in the beauty of the glory that belongs to us as sons. We groan and travail to be clothed even in a glorified body. God, give us foretaste. Clothe this flesh, as you said, in life. Quicken this mortal body. Quicken it. Quicken it with life. Quicken our soul, quicken our bodies. Wash us with the living rain. Wash us with the living waters. Wash us with the living glory, Lord. Wash us in the beauty. Oh, in the beauty, Lord, wash us. Oh, let thy sword cut away the fallen image, dividing asunder spirit, soul, joints, and marrow, dividing out the man of sin, dividing out the man of flesh, dividing out the old, put on the new man, put on Christ, to put on the inheritance of the saints all around us. We're putting it on, caught up into glory, caught up into beauty, caught up in the heavenly tabernacle. We're priests with you, Lord. We sit with you. We're heirs with you of the life. Crown us with glory and honor. Crown us with the image of an heir. Made in your image, Father, an heir. Sons and daughters that reflect the image of Christ. We want your image, Lord. We want your likeness. We know where to find it now. Clothe us today. Wash us in the living waters. Wash us. Wash all the heaviness away. Wash all the pain away. Wash all distraction, cares of this life washed washing our minds, clothing us with the mind of Christ, clothing our bodies, clothing our soul, raising up our spirit as heirs, growing up into Christ, into all things, growing up into your beauty. I'm an heir, Lord. I surrender the image of the elder son. I surrender the image of the prodigal. I've seen both this week, Lord. I've seen them both. I don't want it anymore, Lord. I don't want it. Thy living sword, cut it all away, Lord. Cut it all away. Thy living sword, cut it all away. Let us be raised into glory. Let us be raised. You buried it all in baptism. You buried it all. You took my image. You took it all. I was raised with you into glory. We are raised with you into glory. We are raised into your likeness. You crowneth us with the glory man had in the beginning. You crowneth us with honor. You crown us with your beauty. You cover us with your beauty. You cover us. You cover us in your beauty, Lord. You cover us all with your beauty. Let them see you from now on. Let everybody see you. Let us hide behind the veil of your glory. Let us be hidden away. We know no man after the flesh anymore. We know him after the image of glory. Clothed in the image of the heavenly. Your spirit so heavy upon us today. Your beauty so heavy. Keep us in front of that mirror, Lord. Keep us. Till we receive your likeness. Putting off the old. Putting on the new. We all feel your beauty in here now, Lord. The beauty of the right hand of God. A taste of your glory today, we taste. Everyone clothed in his glory. Everyone clothed in your glory, Lord. Everyone clothed in your blessedness. Put on the light. On the armor of light. Put your light upon us, Lord. Clothe us in the armor of light now. Clothe in the armor of light. Preparing us for dominion. To execute dominion in this city and into the nations. Preparing us for all things. You maketh all things new. You maketh all things new in the heavenly tabernacle. You make all things new, Lord. We're heirs. We're all heirs, Lord. Change our image. To act like an heir. To behave like an heir. To walk like an heir. To see. Speak like an heir, to demonstrate like an heir. We're all heirs here, Lord. Bought such a price. Oh, what beauty there is with you, Lord. What beauty. What perfect beauty. You've brought us up today. You brought us up higher. We thank you for that. Of your fullness we are receiving. Of your fullness we receive.